All right, guys, it is 11 o'clock. Welcome to the Power Half Hour. I'm just going to be looking at myself because I can't see anybody else, but that's okay. That's okay. Today, I'm super stoked to have a superstar from Lethbridge, Alberta today, Courtney Atkinson.
What's up, John?
What's up, man? Really, really appreciate you coming on to our call today. Man, I learned so much from you, and thank you for giving me like an hour of your time just last week. This is the culture of BXP, man. I love it. And, you know, today, Courtney's going to share with us the three secrets of becoming a great leader. But before that, I wanted to, you know, just have yourself, have you introduce yourself and, you know, let us know when you started in real estate and what your production looks like right now and what it was before when you first started.
You got it, John. Well, listen, same to you. Your name precedes you. I heard about you before we met. In fact, some of my colleagues were telling me what a badass you were. So I was stoked to be able to get on the phone with you, man. And I'm stoked to be here today to share a bit of my story. So I've been in real estate since 2008. I did it part-time that year after leaving a job at the University of Lethbridge. Turns out I wasn't a great employee, and I realized it about that time when my boss walked into my office and told me that it might be one of my last days. So I quickly pivoted before he had the opportunity to fire me. In 2009, I went full-time, and it was the best decision of my life. I joined a team, had many opportunities by virtue of the team leader, and had a lot of pain at that time, actually, because there was a you know, the market was decent, but as you know, if anybody's scaled the team before, as you add additional agents, it can be difficult culturally, and we experienced that. So by 2010, I went on my own and quickly ran out of time. I was working, you know, early in the mornings to catch up on correspondence, showing properties, listing properties all day, working on websites in the evening, and really just burned myself out. By 2011, I started scaling my team. I brought in one agent in 2011, a second agent in 2012, a third agent in 2013, and kind of went from there. In 2017, I opened my own independent brokerage, and now we have 15 agents after just moving over to EXP in May. And the reason for moving to EXP is because if any of you all have ever been an independent broker, there's a lot of headaches and risk that go along with that, and we weren't particularly skilled at it. And we wanted to have a scalable model where we could do the things that we're really good at and rid ourselves of the things that we weren't so good at. And so here we are today. We sold about 350 properties last year for about $100 million in production, and hoping to do better this year despite COVID.
Man, well, first of all, congratulations on the massive production. It sounds like it definitely was a journey. It wasn't like a one day. Oh, and you know, from our conversation last week, it sounded like there was a lot of pain in scaling. And I think a lot of us who want to scale don't want to go through that pain. So tell us about, you know, maybe go in a little bit about the struggles of becoming, you know, a leader and scaling. Like, what did you have a lot of turnover? Did you have, you know, invest in a lot of like system that didn't work? Stuff like that.
Well, I'm going to make an assumption that if anybody is considering scaling, that they've been a successful single agent, that they've got lots of opportunities, and they see the potential to have another person or people help them capitalize on those opportunities. And my issue, and it's the issue that a lot of realtors struggle with, is that I didn't feel like I deserved to be around really incredible people. I felt like anybody was good enough because I really wasn't that good. I didn't have a lot of experience as a leader. I didn't have really any experience as an entrepreneur. And I just knew that I was overwhelmed. And if I was going to continue to grow in this business, I needed help. And with eyes like that, you don't tend to be too picky about the people that you surround yourself with. And so unfortunately, I surrounded myself with people who had, you know, good intentions, but weren't necessarily culturally aligned with my objectives and my desires for my business. And at that time, in fairness, I didn't really have clarity around what that looked like. And so through trial and error, I brought in a lot of people who I later found out weren't culturally aligned, who didn't share similar values with me. And unfortunately, you know, we didn't work together for too long. And I would say it really wasn't until 2018, if I'm being, you know, precise enough that I started to have a good sense of what I was trying to build and who I wanted to be aligned with and what my character was and who I needed to be around me so that I could be fulfilled in my work and so that we could serve our clients at the highest level. And to be absolutely transparent, it was a really, really crappy time. And I'll tell you the story. And John, I shared this with you the other day, but it's, you know, whatever. I don't mind sharing these things publicly, but we were in a position where the market had just shifted like for the second or third time in like 2 or 3 years. We had really, really big payroll due. I think it was that coming Friday or something. And we were just flush out of money. And everybody was coming at me asking me why the leads were light. And I'm thinking, hey, listen, I got like $1 million in debt here trying to keep y'all employed. And y'all are coming after me for more leads. Like, I can't just buy more leads. How about this? How about you call the leads that we have more than once and we'd all make a lot more money. Call them twice and I'll high five you. Like, call them five times. We'll be like all making millions. But unfortunately, that wasn't the reality. It was in that moment that I realized that I just had the wrong people around me, because we've been talking about this for a long time and I've been talking about the business not being profitable enough. And they have been talking to me about wanting more from me. But I took responsibility for that, John. And I said, hey, you know what? This is the case because I've hired these people and I've built this business and there's only one person to look at in an environment like that. And it was me. And we talked about this also, John, when I said, you know, I think it was at that moment that I got some clarity around, you know, that age old saying about you have to be the person deserving of, you know, the things that you want, but you've got to do the things to get there. And so I wasn't really being the person that I needed to be in order to do the things that we were trying to do. I was just trying to do more. So I took a step back and started reevaluating who I was as a leader, who I was as a recruiter, who I was as a human being, adding value to the lives of people around me. And essentially started attracting people like that, people who wanted those things. And I have to tell you that that was a really glorious time because the right people started showing up for me. The wrong people started leaving either by choice or by force. And today we have a wonderful culture. We have, you know, stable team members doing, I would say, high volume production with lots of opportunities still in the hopper without having to spend a bunch more money on systems or opportunities for them. So it's a really good time. But yeah, I mean, I feel like I can share a lot of stories about what the bad stuff looks like.
Well, thank you for sharing that first and foremost. And, you know, I go through some struggles, but when you told me the story of payroll coming due, like 20 somewhat thousand in a month, and you're like, oh, I don't have the cash to pay for, I mean, that is scary, right? And yeah, so what was going through your head at that time?
I think it's the same order that would go through anybody's head. At that time, I had people after me, my team members, kind of complaining, saying, hey, there's not enough leads, you know, this and that. It seemed like I was getting a lot of this, a lot of chatter and a lot of people with their hands out. And so naturally, my first response was to kind of point some fingers and say, hey, like, who are you to be like this to me? Like, I've given you so much opportunity. I've given you opportunities that I could have taken for myself. I've handed off deals that required like one showing and got you a $5,000 paycheck when I could have done that myself for $10,000.
Right.
You know, and, you know, that lasted a day or two. But at the end of it, a person has to, I think, as a business leader, step back and say, hey, listen, like, why systemically are these things happening? Why are we here? And ultimately, as a business owner, you've got to take responsibility, you know, whether it's through culture, whether it's through action, whether it's through inaction, these things are indeed the responsibility of the business owner. And I had to come to grips with that. And so straight up, I completely changed my lifestyle. I'm in an accountability group with some fine gentlemen called GoBundance. Mm. We meet every Wednesday, and I was chatting with my partners one Wednesday about this. And we decided that we were going to read this book called Hell Week. And I don't have it on my desk here. I probably lent it out. But it was a real game changer for me personally. It causes you to kind of evaluate your practices, your habits, the things that you do, the things that you're attracting, and it gives you a kind of a methodology for flipping it all on its end. And so I went through that practice and immediately started getting up at 5 a.m., exercising first thing in the morning. I mean, I've always been a gym guy, but really just changed my look at that. And then eventually started getting up at 4, started, you know, doing a lot of different things, just like meditating, visualizing, just being a lot more healthy in general, being more intentional about my water consumption. That served me really well. Do you know what? I showed up as a better leader. I showed up as a better human being, a better dad, a better husband. And then I started seeing results from that. Mm. And eventually that led to me, I wouldn't say stopping drinking, but really scaling back my drinking. Not that I ever drank a ton, but I'm, you know, I'm from the Maritimes and I'm excellent at drinking and I can tell a heck of a story, especially when I've had a few beer in me. But I was realizing that, hey, listen, you know, the habit of going out on a Saturday night and crushing 9 or 10 or 12 beers with friends, you know, means that really I'm at like 60% production on Monday morning and maybe 80 by Tuesday morning. And my team just deserves better. And so if you're going to be the kind of person that expects your team to show up at 100% on a Monday morning, can you really say that if you're not? And so a lot of little things, John, like that over the span of a couple of years. And I'm proud to say that we're at a place now that's, I think, reflective of the efforts that I've put in during that time. But it's not been overnight for sure.
Oh, my goodness. I think we're on the right kind of alignment because I've been doing this 4:30 crew, you know, 5 a.m. club, you know, since 5 years ago. And things have just really started to take off. And yeah, and GoBundance, guys, write this down, GoBundance, go check it out. I think it was Brent Llewellyn that told me, an EXP agent joined GoBundance. Did you meet him?
Brent Llewellyn, I'm gonna look him up right now.
Okay, I thought you were the guy. But anyway, he said GoBundance, go check it out. Anyway, so you talked about being. I wanna touch a little bit about that because some of us on this call are in this program called Being the Solution, this personal development course. How did you work on your being, like being the person who deserves to attract all these good people to you, that portion of it?
Well, I have to thank my wife in portion for that because you know, she's wonderful at being dead honest with me. Mm. And you know, equal parts defender too, right? Not always champion of the other, but she was really encouraging of me just having a look at the habits that I had and how other things were turning up because of that. And, you know, I'm just a firm believer that, you know, we have a choice to see whatever world is before us and we create that with the lens that we choose. And I was just repeatedly choosing the wrong lens. I was putting on the wrong pair of glasses every day. I was showing up as a victim. I was eliciting a lot of these things in my daily life. I was eliciting a lot of these behaviors from my team members by virtue of the way that I was as a person. And it took a long period of rewiring, frankly, to get to the bottom of what it was that I was being limited by and how I could change that lens. And so if you all haven't read this book by a guy named Hal Elrod called The Miracle Morning, yes, you should really just do yourself a favor and read that. Between the book Hell Week and The Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod, I really built a framework for success by focusing on me first, just recognizing that, you know, I can't be the best team leader, I can't be the best husband, I can't be the best father unless I'm really good for me first. And so I intentionally take like 4 hours a day selfishly, like I don't even talk to anybody. Well, that's not true. It's more like 3.5 hours, but like, I'm up at 4, I step out of the bedroom, I go drink my green juice, I go through my routine, and I can tell you all about that later if you'd like. But fact is, I don't talk to anybody at the gym. I don't talk to anybody until I get home at 7:30. That's Courtney time. And so by 7:30 in the morning, like the wheels could absolutely fall off my bus. You know, I could have 10 people walk out of my team. I could have a foreclosure notice posted on my building, and I've still had a great day. And nobody's going to take that away from me, no matter what happens by 7:30 in the morning. And so to me, that's just a really empowering thing. Like there's literally nothing you can do that's going to ruin my day because I've already had, I think, the world's greatest day by that time. And so you just show up so much better, I think, when you've had a practice like that. And it's been so transformational for me that it will be the very last habit that I ever give up.
Man, that's amazing. So guys, listen up. If you want to do 350 deals, first step, go read the book Miracle Morning and the book Hell Week, right? And start doing your morning routine. Be selfish with your time in the morning. Don't talk to anybody. Get your mind straight. And you know, same thing with Courtney. By 7 o'clock he is on fire and you can be too. So do that morning routine. Okay, thank you for sharing that. So I want to jump into your you know, obviously 350 deals, not many people can even fathom that. Your three best secrets on how to become a great leader and attract all that production and people.
Well, I love that question. I gave it a good amount of consideration, and my answers are going to be super simple, guys. Don't expect anything transformational, but I think there's beauty in simplicity. I want to tell you this. I tried to fake it a long time, okay? I was pretending to be somebody who I wasn't. I was showing up as somebody who I wasn't necessarily, and I wasn't super comfortable being in my own skin talking about the things that I screwed up. And I'll tell you now, if you have to create an environment like that where you have to show up that way, you've hired all the wrong people and you haven't been true to yourself. And so you'll have a business reflective of that too. And it lacks integrity. And I had a business that lacked integrity. I had people around me who lacked integrity and I lacked integrity. So first and foremost, you got to be real. Show up who you are. Listen, a third of the people are going to hate you no matter what you do. Okay. They're just not going to like you. A third really aren't going to give a shit about you no matter what you do. Okay. But the third that have the really awesome and true chance of liking you are only going to like the real version of yourself. And if you can't remember what that looks like day to day, or it was different today than it was yesterday, you're lowering your odds of having people want to engage with you. So do yourself a favor, just be yourself. And if you're not at peace with who yourself is, get to know yourself, spend some time meditating, spend some time asking friends and family, you know, what they think is your greatest quality, and get to know yourself. Like, the truth is, guys, is that so much of us now spend time on Facebook and social media aspiring to be somebody else who's only put their highlight reel up for us to see, that we're acting like a highlight reel too. We don't even know what real looks like anymore. And if your team members and the people in your life and the clients that you serve don't know who you are in your essence, your true self, you don't have a chance. Like, it's just too hard to keep up. It's exhausting. As if the business of real estate isn't exhausting enough, working 15, 16, 18 hours a day. Now you've got to be somebody else doing that. It's just not fair to you. It's not fair to your family. And I don't think you can grow a successful business that way, personally, just my opinion. Second thing is, and I believe this wholeheartedly, it's been my experience that you really need to be excellent. And I'm not saying that you have to be perfect. Okay. I'm saying that you have to exude excellence. You have to do something different than somebody else is willing to do. Look around your market and ask yourself, what are some things that I can do that nobody else is willing to do? Those are the things that you're going to have to do to be the top producer in your market. I'll be the first person getting up. If I start seeing on my social media that my competitors are getting up at 4 o'clock, do you think I'm going to sleep in till 4? Nuh-uh. I'm getting up at 3:30. If everybody's getting up at 3:30, I'll get up at 3. I have a friend, 1:30 is his time. He's up every day at 1:30. I'm like, what? I could probably do that. I'm just making it my point that I'm going to be the most excellent. If somebody seems like they're creeping ahead of me a little bit, I'm going to figure out what the hack is, and I'm just going to get there. And it doesn't have to be on everything. But for me, it's really about what I do for me, what I do for self, that's going to allow me to feel that edge. It might not even give me an edge. Like, if I get up at 1:30 and everybody thinks I'm mental for doing that, if I walk into my day feeling like an utter badass because I get up at 1:30, do you think I'm going to show up better? Absolutely. You think I'm going to act differently? For sure. Am I going to choose different words? Absolutely. Am I going to have a better outlook? For sure I am. All those things are the things that manifest excellent results. So excellence in whatever it looks like to you, so that you feel excellent, so that you act excellent. And then finally, I think one of the things that maybe came latest to me was being a champion, but not in the way that you might think. Be a champion for the agents that you intend to serve. See, one of the challenges of being an independent producer or being the leader of a small team is that it really is all about you. You know, when you're a one-person team or a two-person team or a three-person team, it's still really about this one person, okay? It's still kind of a me kind of thing. There's a certain amount of ego that's still involved. And let's be honest, it's deserved. You have created this thing. You deserve the accolades. Whatever systems are in place, however big the database is, whatever the transaction history looks like, generally you can say that that's you. One of the difficult transitions as you scale a team is that at some point, and I don't know exactly where it is, but it becomes very little about you. You know, your job's actually to get the hell out of the way. Your job's to not even keep track of what your own personal goals are. It's actually know in detail what motivates each and every person that you serve. So if you were to ask me what the big why is for each of my team members, I can tell you we have something called a Dream Manager program where I sit down with volunteers, people that want to participate once a month. It's the first Monday of every month. And there's about 7 or 8 people that have opted in. And we go through in detail a list of like 100 things that they want to accomplish in their life before they die. And we try to work out a plan to knock off one each month. You know, we know that there's a domino effect. Once we knock down one, there's a greater chance of another thing being knocked down. So my job as a team leader is to be a champion, is to really understand and be super motivated to help those team members get there. Because at the end of the day, John, this production number of 350, and how do you get there? The thing is you don't. A bunch of other people do, and your ability to support them will dictate how many they do, right? How plugged into your culture they feel will dictate how many they do. Collectively, the volume that you do as team members is dependent on that culture and your ability to support them. So that all ties into being real and being excellent, because they're not going to want to show up for you, for themselves, for their clients, for their family, unless they feel looked after, like they're cared for, like they're valued. And so that's just a really important piece as well.
Huge. Oh my goodness. There's just so much gold inside of the 3 points, guys. You might want to listen to the recording. I will send it out. This is phenomenal. Thank you, Courtney. And what I heard for myself is getting the hell out of the way. Like, I've been trying to scale, Courtney, and it's been a struggle, because a lot of times, I'll just be honest, it's all about me. Like, I even want to just take off my name from the team, but like, you know, when it's all about me, I can't scale. There's no way to do it all myself. And so, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I respect your vulnerability, John, and it's not unique, right? Because here's the thing. I mean, you shared with me the number of hours that you put in. You shared with me that you have a family, and I know the kinds of sacrifices that you've made. And your family appreciates that. Your legacy appreciates that. But there will come a time, and I'll share with you the story for how this time came for me. Like many of you, I read Gary Keller's Red Bible, MREA. And I was frankly just getting burned out, guys. There was many, many, many times where I said to myself, hey, listen, like, I just can't keep this up. And I started in real estate a bit older too. Like, I think I was, I don't know, I would have been 35 or something when I first started. Not to say that I was old, but I can see by looking at some of the faces on this video, either you all look amazing, or many of you are younger than I was even then. And so I was running out of energy, but I didn't want to stop scaling my business. So I was like, listen, I don't care if I make less money next year. I just want to work less, man. I want to take more holidays. I want to spend more time with my girl, my kids, and that'll be good enough for me. And when you take that approach, when you're uninvested in the number of units or the income and those types of things, and you just start to build something that you can be proud of, that can afford you the lifestyle that you want, I think that's how you kind of naturally move towards a place where you'll have a bit of time, where you'll, you know, find yourself surprisingly actually making more money. Why? Because you stepped out of the way, right? Like, it's kind of funny to think that with all of the intentionality that is required to create a wonderful business, that sometimes you just have to let it go too. You just have to let this thing go. And when you do, when you step out of the way, magical things start to happen. People start to show up. Opportunities start to create themselves for you. And you can just kind of ride that wave for a while. I think a lot of times we're so focused on trying to control things that we're actually creating a grip on the business that it can't grow. Like, we're choking it, you know, letting go, whether it's because we're frustrated, because we're too busy, or because we're intentionally realizing that if we do let it go, that it will grow, is a really powerful thing. And I encourage all of my colleagues to do that if you're having trouble beginning to scale.
Okay, wife, we're going to Sunshine Coast this weekend. Letting it go, guys.
Love it.
Gosh, that was the biggest point for myself and, you know, amongst all these other golden nuggets. Thank you for sharing so vulnerably as well, and so authentic, man. You are just so real. I love it.
I don't know how else to be now, man. So if I get any other baggage you ask me about, I'm gonna have to tell you.
Oh man. All right, so we have about 6 minutes left. I know a lot of people have a lot of questions, and I'm gonna call on our special guest as well. Special Ed, you got any questions for Courtney? Speak up now. You want to build a team, right?
I would love to build a team, but like, man, the grind and the hustle you're doing, man. I love it. I love it. And like, especially the time for yourself in the beginning of your day, that's like something that's so useful. And I feel like it's giving me so much more energy too. Right. So yeah, it's great advice.
Yeah. You guys connect, follow each other, you know, Eddie used to be our goalie here locally with the Canucks. Thank you. Thank you. So we're going to help Eddie build a team. Who else got a question for Courtney?
I'll just say this before we get off the line here, guys. Listen, you know, I got so much time to support agents. I feel like I've learned a lot. And I'm going to tell you what, guys, I didn't have a network like this when I was scaling. So just look me up on Facebook. Send me a message. You want to connect offline or whatever, just do that. I'm being honest with you. Just message me. I can help you. I'm happy to do that. And I got time for it. Okay. Jack, I think you had a question. Was that right?
Yeah. Hi, how are you? Thank you so much, Courtney, for the information. And I definitely love your dream manager idea. And so my question is, when you first started, I mean, how did you overcome the fear of the unknown of like being a leader, starting a team, hiring your buyer agent? And after you get them, how do you best communicate with them and enroll them into your vision?
Well, that's a very intelligent question, Jack. I would love to tell you that I had job descriptions and I had the metric for exactly how everybody was going to fit into the organization based on their personality profile. But it was more like, oh my gosh, I'm drowning. What am I going to do? I haven't been able to fill up this paperwork for days. My broker's after me and my clients are they're starting to fire me because it's taking me too long to return phone calls. And so I just reached out to some people that I knew and I happened to find a gal. She was my first admin person. And you know what, Jack, she was wonderful. She served our business really, really well for, I think, 2 years. Diana was with us until she went off on that leave and raised her family. So I think really the question is more around fear. Like, how do you get past the fear of knowing? Because I'll tell you what, in the early stages of growth, many times somebody, just a body that is interested in helping you is probably going to be good enough. And as long as they're willing to grow, I think that person is going to be good enough. The real struggle, I think, moving forward is as you grow an organization, then personality, then skills, then alignment kind of it becomes a more difficult thing. But in the early stages, not so much. How do you get past the fear? Well, I've always battled fear. Even to this day, Jack, I wake up scared, man. Like we're all, like anybody on this phone call not scared about something right now? Like I'm scared my business is going to still burn and crash because of COVID. I don't know what's happening in this fall. Is there going to be a second wave? They're going to shut us down? Like, if you're not scared about something, you're lying. So what I was scared about then was that I would burn out. What I was scared about then was that I would ruin my reputation because I couldn't return phone calls and engage my clients at the way that they wanted, that I couldn't service the relationships that I already had. And so frankly, hiring somebody was lower on the fear scale. Like I had all these giant fears up here and the solution was much less scary. So then it was fear of like, well, how am I going to pay this person? And I was like, well, it seems like I'm making enough money. I guess I just tell her that it's going to be temporary. Like, so we did that. Every time we hired anybody for the first little while, it was like a 3-month probation, which meant like, I hope I can pay you for at least 3 months. Like, that's really what we're saying, right? And in fairness to those people, we weren't hiring people away from other organizations. A lot of times they were more junior. So if they happened to lose a job with us, it wasn't ruining their life or anything. So I think those are all some minor considerations that you can think of when you're bringing in somebody for the first time. And as you begin to scale, a lot of those people will begin just to opt out because now you're creating a business and they didn't like that. They liked working for you, but they didn't necessarily like being part of something much bigger. And so naturally things, I think, just tend to fall into place.
Got it. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, man, you got it.
It's really good to know that you're also scared when waking up. Thank God I'm not alone.
Dude. Listen, I don't know about you guys, but I struggle with like, depression, anxiety, you name it. And hey, like our business is the freaking worst for that because now you got like all your competitors in your market that want you to get hit by a bus today, right? So for me, that's like 315 people are hoping that I fall off the sidewalk and get run over, okay? There's all those people. And then periodically, there's the other stuff that goes along with it too. So hey, man, I get it. We're all fighting an uphill battle some days more than others.
Well, you know what, you're doing at such a high level and we appreciate you sharing all this. Thank you. Thank you so much. One last question from anybody for Courtney. Raise your hand.
I have a question.
Hey, Helen.
Hey, so now that you've been with EXP for a while and you've brought all of your agents over, and I see, I think you're still bringing on new agents. Have you seen any kind of changes in the sort of daily modus of operandi among all of your realtors and team members with any increased cooperation, or are they still kind of competing a little bit, or has anything changed with all of your agents and working together?
That's a wonderful question. I'll answer it to the best of my ability, Helen. We miss being around one another. You know, we put up a $2 million building here to operate out of last year, which couldn't have been more poorly timed given that now we're mostly working virtually. So we miss kind of that collegiality, that collective nature of being around one another. But despite that, despite us not being at the office physically, we leverage Zoom and Google Hangouts just like anybody else does that's running a responsible business now. And I would say more so than ever, we have incredible culture. I would say that we're connected as a team more deeply now. But I think that that's not exceptional given that when you go to the post office now, when you go to the gas station now, when you just kind of walk around anywhere now, don't we all kind of feel that there's a little bit more desire for connection? Like I have more random strangers talking to me now than I have in the last 10 years. It's wonderful. And so I think our agents are experiencing that too with our family. You know, I think we're competing less, supporting more. We're just being better human beings. And I think if there's anything that COVID's given us, it's that sense of belonging that we missed out on for 3 months, that when we see a human being in public, we're like, hey, how's your day going today? You know, like, whereas before you'd have your face buried in your Instagram walking down the sidewalk, now you're seeking that human engagement. And that showed up for us in our team culture too. And I hope that stays, because I don't know that we'll ever get back to being a big team around the office, but I really, really value the cultural piece that's come out of this, and that we're really caring, I think, at a higher level. There's more desire to pour into one another's lives, to support one another where it's needed, and still recognizing that there's kind of more complex struggles too. Like many folks have kids at home still. You know, it's just so much more complexity with our lives now. And so I think that's been a blessing for all of us, frankly.
Yeah, I feel it as well. I really miss hugging some people.
Mm-hmm. We still do it. I know we're not supposed to, but
I even miss shaking hands when I'm meeting new clients and customers for the first time. It's just kind of awkward right now, but you do figure out a way to actually go beyond and show that caring and engagement with your words and your personality and your body language and everything else, since we can't just do the usual routine. So it's very helpful. You're very insightful, Courtney. I really appreciate listening to you.
Oh, thanks, Helen. It's nice to connect with you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Helen, for the question. And Courtney, really, we are so lucky to have you in our EXP family. And you've just been, you know, nothing but a huge contribution to me and today to Facebook. Man, I hope, you know, whatever I could do for you, let me know. And, you know, guys, connect with Courtney if you guys have any questions. If you guys need any help in real estate in Lethbridge, he's the man, okay?
I'm a man on a team full of great people. How about that? And I'll just reiterate, folks, if you want to reach out to me offline, please do. I love this stuff. I mean, I'm really, really fortunate and blessed to be at the stage of my career where I can spend some time helping people. And I've got mentors that I go to. They make time for me, and I feel like I have a big debt to this world. So you let me know.
Love it, love it, love it. Thank you, Courtney. All right, guys, have a great day. Courtney, thank you again.
Yeah, you bet. Good chatting with you, John. Take care, everybody. Great to see you.